Hi, this is Fred Eaglesmith. You're listening to Tell the Band Go Home, and you should tell the band to go home because they always will eat your food when you leave the house to go to work and you leave them there. Tell them to go home. 101.5 FUMFM.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Tell the Band to Go Home, UMFM's weekly singer-songwriter show. I'm your host, Jeff. I think that song we heard off the top there is Fred Eaglesmith, of course, one of our favorites here on the show. That's not from one of my favorite Fred Eaglesmith albums, but that song is called Codeine. And today's show is actually brought to you by the makers of Tylenol 3 with Codeine, the preferred narcotic pain reliever of this show. Especially today, I had a little operation. I got half a head going on here, and I think I'm okay. You guys can be the judge and let me know. Could be a bit of a bumpy ride. Along for the ride for the first little while is going to be our good friend Matt Epp, who's got a brand new record. It's called Love in Such Strong Words, and it's pretty, pretty fine, I got to say. We'll play us something off of that. We'll chat with Matt. We'll find out about his CD release show coming up, and then we'll see what happens after that. Stay tuned. Here's Matt Epp. Tell the band to go home.
Thank you.
Matt up there, Untitled Dream, and Matt's here to join us. Welcome back, Matt.
Hey, how are you doing?
It actually seems like not that long ago that you were here releasing the last CD.
Yeah, what was that, last Thursday or something?
Not that old. You'll Find Me Alone.
Right.
When did that come out? About a year ago? Or?
Yeah, September 1st. And so it's going to be a year and 2 days, technically.
So you're behind schedule.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to put out the next one in a few months just to up the ante.
Especially doing stuff on your own, often it takes a long time to get everything together and put out another record, but you're just pumping them out like crazy. Why is that?
Well, first of all, music's really new to me, so I need to, the learning curve's really fast, you know, so I had to kind of, to put out a project, it really makes you take everything you've learned and make the best of it, and then you kind of put it out, and that's like you've achieved the highest you can get,
right,
for what you know. But then after that, you've set that bar, and so you can only stand on that and like do everything past it, everything you've learned. I don't know. I would love to be putting out one or two records a year for sure.
Can you say like what you've learned or what's changed since the last one already? Like, is there one or a couple things that you noticed that you're doing differently this time?
Yeah, I think one thing is the recording process kind of opened up a little bit once I found out kind of how it worked. And I was like, oh, yeah, there's opportunities to do all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
And also I learned about songwriting a little bit more, kind of the different avenues it could take. And so I started exploring, you know, different ways of writing tunes and different kinds of songs and different sounds, and realizing how you could make a record of all these different sounds and different ideas and how they could cohesively come together.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to explore that and kind of, you know, actually have something to show for it.
Right. I noticed that actually, especially the first record. What I liked about it was that it was so obviously you and so obviously about you. It was very honest and very sort of revealing about yourself, I thought.
Right.
And then this one, it seems like you're talking about a bunch of different people and not so much just yourself.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot. I mean, you're totally right. You'll Find Me Alone, especially the song, is very autobiographical. And
yeah.
And this one is, I mean, from first listen and definitely first impressions, it seems a lot more removed.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I definitely feel a lot more naked and vulnerable in this record and what it deals with. However, I think I've masked some of it unconsciously in surreal type poetry just to kind of, you know, give myself a little bit of a mask and a little bit of a way out for the people that aren't really listening.
Right.
You know,
it's an interesting, obviously you've grown and learned a lot since the first record. And, what kind of comments did you get about that first record? I mean, what did people say about it? What was the reaction to it for the most part?
Well, for the most part, it was people really appreciated the acoustic sound and the fact that it was really pure and honest because it was recorded live, and how it's very unlike how a lot of music is recorded these days, especially. And that the songs, I mean, I think the naivety that I had as an early songwriter really brought out the, like, just the pure soul of what I was trying to get across.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so I think people liked that, and just the recording of, you know, I had good feedback from my voice, I guess. I mean, it was very naked and just like,
yeah,
you know, not messed around with at all. That's just how I sang it live, right? So
yeah.
So that was good. And but I also got the feedback that the songs, about half of them were kind of strong and the other half were just kind of there, and that the record didn't really have as much dynamic as it could have.
Okay.
And so part of the reason I did this record with a lot of different dynamic in it is because then it would open a lot more doors, and that a lot I could book better gigs too.
Right, right.
And get a little bit more attention as far as moving the career further.
Right. A few things that I, especially on that first track, you notice the album starts off with kind of a rock and bang there with
yeah.
the great band.
Yeah.
It sort of signals that it's different. What I also like about that track in particular is that it sounds like you kind of took your voice to another place too. Like you didn't quite sing like that on the other record.
That's true. I hadn't thought about this, but the song Boy Oughta Be in New York that was on the first record, that somehow signaled to me, looking back, it was like, oh, that's the signal that I wanted to go there. You know, it somehow has the same vocal quality of the kind of, and I think it's even influenced by, you know, Matt Mays,
right?
Kind of his style of singing more recently, just a little bit more aggressive and like putting your idea across forcefully and standing behind it and not, you know, being so just like, this is what I think or this is how I feel, but just being like, you know, really strong about it, strong words.
Right. You've obviously, before the last record came out, had you done a lot of shows?
No.
I don't remember seeing you a lot live before the record came out.
No, that record, I hardly played out live. But I had gone for a couple weeks to Alberta once.
Right.
And then when I came back from that, I had traveled with a more seasoned songwriter. And so we had been playing these songs, and it kind of came across to the audiences which songs were connecting and which weren't. And so I could kind of form the record around those 6 to 8 songs and then just see what else would fit with it.
Right. So obviously, I know that you've done a lot more shows since then. And performing live as much as you have, has that sort of changed the songwriting? Has it changed the recording?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah. As soon as I put out that record, I went out west for 2 months, two different tours back to back, and playing in a lot of places like bars or music venues where you've got to stand up against, like, you know, the guys that have been doing it all their lives, and here I am just fresh to everything. And so I'm, you know, playing You're a Feather or something, or You'll Find Me Alone, and all these soft songs, and it's like people can take about 6 of those.
Yeah.
If they're in a listening audience that's just quiet. But if you're in a bar, you can't even play 2 in a row without people kind of getting antsy and you know, going for another drink, which is great. But at the same time, I had to start playing other people's tunes, like some Sam Cooke or something that would really move and that I could belt, because, you know, people just need that change just to kind of stay interested.
That's interesting. And obviously, again, it speaks to how much you sort of learned between the records, and it can only serve to make this record obviously better.
I think so.
There's so many great people playing on this record. the list of players is about a page long. It's kind of a who's who of the local community, for sure. How did you arrange to have all these people sort of available at the right time? And
well,
it's been a bit of a juggling act.
Juggling and you know, multitasking is kind of my strong suit, which is I'm blessed with, I guess. For instance, I'll give you a story. Just ask me for one specific one, because I don't know like where to start.
All right. Well, you got Jesse from the Ducks on here, who sings very well on the Family Farm.
Okay. Well,
they're a band that's very busy. That's why I was kind of wondering, like, people like that, and I know Dan Frechette's not around a lot and stuff like that. Like, how do you get them all sort of logistically on the record?
Well, Jesse, we got to know each other before I ever played music. We were we had apartments beside each other.
Oh.
And it was actually a song that I'd submitted to Emmylou Harris to sing on, and she was too busy to do it. And so it was kind of coming down to mixing time, and we were at Folk Fest this last summer, and me and Jesse ran into each other, and we were like, oh, catching up all weekend. And then she said, you know, you have anything to sing on? And I was like, well, I was going to just sing this one alone because Emmylou couldn't do it, but that'd be awesome if you did, right? Opened up my mind to this new possibility, which was great. Then she came in, and it happened in a few minutes, and it was just beautiful.
That's great. And talk to me a bit about working on with Dan Frechette. He seems to play on, he's everybody's friend, and he gets along with everybody in the community here. He's sort of one of those unsung guys that all musicians love and hang out with, but
yeah, and he was actually the guy that got me interested, well, not interested, but like inspired profoundly to write songs. And, you know, when I saw him, I had to call in inspired to work the next day because I was just blown away. And so we've kind of been in touch, but like you said, he's been touring. You know, he put on 88,000 kilometers last year just touring his new record. And it was the same thing with him. Last second, ran into him and kind of asked if there was anything, you know, if he had some time to do some stuff. And he was like, yeah. And we ended up getting a good session in 3 songs in a row. Well, I'm really lucky that just schedules worked out for everyone.
Do you write a lot of songs, or are these pretty much the ones you've written over the past year?
No, I've written a lot more than that. They seem to be the ones that fit on the record.
Okay. I'm just interested in the fact that, like, you were inspired by Dan Frechette and sort of follow his model in a lot of ways, but he's a guy who writes a hell of a lot of songs.
A lot more than I do.
But doesn't put out a lot of records. But you are putting out records quicker.
Well, I want to be kind of always present, like, you know, my record to be reflecting where I'm at this time.
Right.
You know, his first record is like a greatest hits. I mean, like, out of 1,500 songs, there's, what, 12 or 14, I can't remember, of these incredible songs. And I'm kind of like, well, I want to share my progress almost with everybody because that's how I learn.
Right. I want to, let's play a track and then chat a bit more. Is that okay?
Sure, yeah.
What should we play?
Oh, man.
Take a look.
What should we play? Well, let's... why don't we play something that Dan was on? Let's play Honey Baby.
What number is that?
Number 5. Honey Baby, Don't You Worry.
All right. Why do we pick that song?
Well, we were just talking about Dan, and it's kind of the one lighthearted... Well, I mean, there's a lot of different sounds on here, but this is the one really lighthearted topic here. Just telling Honey Baby, whoever that would be, to not worry because everything's going to be all right.
All right, well, let's hear it. We'll chat some more. This is Matt Epp. Mention your CD release party first before we...
Oh, right. Yeah. On next Sunday, a week from today, at the West End Cultural Center. Doors at 7:15, times at 8, and got some great guests. Adrian Sala and Carly Dow are opening the show, and I've got a great band playing with me. A lot of the people from the record, including Dan Frechette. And... yeah, it's going to be a great show.
All right, well, we'll chat about that more in a couple minutes.
Honey, baby, I want to make you mine. I'm looking out for you all the time. Every morning to you I'll say, don't you worry today. Honey, baby, tomorrow's far away. Let my love take away your pain. I know the future sometimes doesn't look so bright, but you don't have to worry about that tonight. So honey, baby, make me wanna be a better man. I'll go to work every day and bring home what I can, and I'll look after you till the sky falls. Don't you worry at all. Honey, baby, of all the things you've seen, can't you see those years were only dreams? And aren't you glad that they don't last? No, you don't have to worry about your past. Sky falls, don't you worry at all. Don't you worry at all.
Sounds pretty good to me, and I don't think you have much to worry about.
Well, it's fun anyway. I'm having fun.
We talked about a couple interesting things while that song was playing. You said, first of all, that you have a hard time picking your favorite songs. Like,
yeah.
Who's the judge of what a good song is for you? Like, are you able to say what is a better song of yours and what isn't? Like, what sort of is the criteria for making?
Well, if I'm judging my songs and what's better than the other one, it's usually if I captured that inspiration or kind of the soul of what was coming across better. Okay. I mean, I know I've dropped the ball on a few songs and I usually don't record those ones. And then some of them, it's just like, wow, I don't even, like, that song will keep teaching me different things over and over, and I don't know where that stuff came from. It'll keep revealing itself to me over a lot of time, and then I'm like, okay, that was a good song, but I still don't take the credit for that, you know?
Yeah. Do you have other people you bounce songs off of, or musician friends who say, you know, which ones are good and which ones aren't?
Yeah.
Or
yeah, there's a couple of writers that I really take seriously when I'm playing a song for them, and you can kind of tell when you're putting it across to that person what's happening. Like my friend Renee Campbell from The Addicts that played guitar on this record. We're roommates, and so it's perfect. We bounce songs off each other all the time, and so it's he's perfect for that. And then Dan Frechette too, kind of dropping the demo CD in his hands for me was really nerve-wracking, because it's like, oh, he hasn't even heard my first record. He's been like on the road the whole time. You know, what's he gonna think of these? I'm asking him to play it. He's, you know,
yeah.
So definitely, there's some people like that. But otherwise, if I know in my heart that the song came across how it was supposed to, then I don't really worry about it too much.
So you sort of have an idea of what you're trying to capture and what the idea is, but it sounds like sometimes it kind of gets away, or you kind of I guess don't cover what you're trying to do.
Yeah, and sometimes even the pressure of knowing that there are people that liked the first songs or that like you know, like my music or something. The idea of recording something and spending a lot of, you know, time, effort, and money into putting something down, and then just being like, oh, I wonder if they'll maybe won't like this because it's got electric guitar in it or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's maybe they won't like the topic because they're, you know, it's mentioning something that's uncomfortable or whatever.
Right. We also talked a bit about perfection and the way some people spend a lot of time in the studio fixing everything up, but you left some sort of, this one sort of warts and all. There's a few little things that weren't quite perfect and stuff.
Oh, you can hear it all over my voice, especially on the two tracks we just played so far today. That, I mean, all the vocals were recorded really fast, and I was just trying to get the feeling of the song. So it was putting across what I was trying to get across, but not try to get this pitch correction. Like we were just talking about, imagine Dylan or Neil Young using pitch correction and how that would be, you know, terrible for their careers, because everyone hates that, and they love them because they're just, they have their character.
Yeah. So, I mean, you chose to do things this way. Like, if you had all the time and money in the world, would you spend more time making it more perfect?
No, I'd just make many more records. That's it.
Well, that's good. And it's kind of an interesting philosophy. I think especially a lot of people, when they're starting out, they want to sound as perfect right away as possible. So they spend more time and more money and whatever. And then as they go, they learn more, and they kind of end up undoing a lot of those things.
Right. I think, well, it's because on. I mean, it goes a lot deeper than what they want to hear, because you got to examine the motives of somebody like that, right?
Right.
Because, you know, what are they trying to get? Are they trying to, you know, get a lot of attention and kind of get glorified for like being really good and better than everyone else and kind of perfect? Or is it trying to get to a industry level where, you know, people are hyping them and telling everyone how good they are, and but then they can't deliver on that either, because nobody's perfect.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, they fall into the Canadian Idol trap where they want to be really pretty and really slick and stuff, and they kind of forget about the substance, right?
Exactly.
What do you want to be known for? What do you think you would like people to say is your strength? Or
wow, well, that's it's a heavy question. How deep into that do I want to go? Yeah. That, Yeah, that's a heavy one. Basically, I would like to be, I guess, considered as somebody that is being honest about life.
Right.
And I mean, honest about whatever topic I'm dealing with and not trying to shy away from anything or smooth anything over. Really, music is kind of more of an expression and a medium for me to communicate rather than a thing all in itself.
Right.
You know.
But it's obviously become such a huge part of your life. Like, you spend so much time. I know you're always making music or thinking about music or working on something.
It's true.
You're always at shows and stuff. So obviously, I mean, music is, it's not your life, but it is a big part of your life.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time working. I mean, part of it is also not just the passion I have for music, but it's also the passion that, I mean, I have to go out and I could just play music all the time, but I want to make records and I want to make sure that I do the proper promotion and learn how to book tours and get the right team around me eventually, so that eventually I can have a giant house. Giant meaning like, and I'm okay, got to follow this all the way through. Basically, a house with a big family,
yeah,
a big, huge dining room, and have like 1,000 people coming through for dinner every year, and just have a huge hub of activity there, so it can be a community center almost, and basically just like enjoy an awesome wife and kids, and that's like my goal, right? For the time I'm on Earth, I want to spend it with family and have my own, and I need a good career if I'm going to do that,
right?
And this is the only one that I'm passionate about that I could actually work that hard on.
So, I mean, you're obviously thinking about. Sorry, I'm getting all choked up here. Obviously, you're thinking about sort of today and what you need to do right now. But
right.
It sounds like you have an eye on a bigger goal as well, like making your career sustainable, so you don't have to do quite so much work all the time.
Maybe. Oh yeah, and that comes down to acting in integrity in the way you make music. Not only that, but in the way you deal with people, and I mean, otherwise people are just gonna lose interest if there's some arrogant guy trying to make music that he thinks is really awesome and that everyone has to listen to. Like, that's not the point, you know. Nobody can connect in their soul over something like that,
right? Do you obviously you spend a lot of time trying to connect with your audience,
right?
Live. How hard has it been to get people to come out and pay attention and get on the bandwagon?
Well, it's more kind of like I just connect with people just in everyday life because I'm out and around and I like meeting people. So it kind of happens on its own. People bring people, and that's kind of nice. But as far as on the road, like, I've actually used MySpace like crazy to promote shows in towns that I've never been to.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden there's going to be a handful of people there, and these people have already established some kind of correspondence, so they've got a bit of a connection and they feel more attached to you right off the bat.
Right.
And it kind of spreads itself that way.
It sounds like you focused your touring mostly on the West. Is that true?
I've definitely put in more effort on the East just to book it, because I've never really toured out there.
Right.
And the West, I've toured more, so I have more of an established base there, and that's why it was easier to book easier to book more dates. Definitely.
How hard is this whole process for you? Like, the business side of things, did it come fairly naturally? And obviously, it's a lot of work for anybody, but
yeah, the business, it pretty much comes naturally as far as kind of the work ethic and everything I need to do that way. it definitely. If you let anything go and procrastinate, it just comes back and you just get flustered. But yeah, it's something that kind of makes sense to me, so I'm fortunate that way.
Right. Well, I mean, it sounds like you're doing all the right things, and hopefully people are paying attention. And
well, it's all to no use if they don't like the music, right? So, like, I can get all these people to a show or land a great slot because I charm some promoter, but that's not going to work if everybody there is like, oh, that guy's just like, what is he doing?
Well, no, I mean, obviously there's a good method to your madness and a good message to your music and stuff. So
we'll see.
So hopefully people will get the message. Anyways, it's a great record. Will it be available anywhere for folks that don't make it out to the show, which hopefully they all will?
Yeah. Well, if everyone does, then all your listeners do. That'll be like, what, 850,000 people at the show.
That's right.
And it probably won't fit. That's why I put on a long weekend so that filters some of them out, the unfaithful ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be before I leave on tour the next day, I'll make sure it's out at Music Trader and the Folk Fest Music Store for sure, those two.
Are you ever going to have a real website?
A real one? Yeah, I'll probably get one up right away. So I've got mattep.com actually printed on these discs, and I've paid for it, but there's nothing up yet. So I'm gonna. You've already checked that out.
Yeah,
hey?
Of course.
That's terrible. I'm really behind on that. I've dropped that ball. No, I'm gonna put that up soon. I'm gonna actually get it forwarded to MySpace first.
Okay.
And then when I get a bit of time. Like November, then I'm going to put up a different website, but it won't be much. It'll be just for press,
right?
Like photos to download and stuff like that. So,
well, that's good. But I guess people will still catch up with you through MySpace and all kinds of other things. And,
oh, sure.
Where are you headed on your tour?
Well, first I've got it's about 25 dates. It goes to Victoria, BC, and then all the way back to Toronto.
Wow.
And then down to New York City, and then up to Ottawa, Montreal, and then back here for the end of October for the Western Canadian Music Awards.
That's crazy. Well, best of luck with it all. I hope.
Thanks.
Hope they're all a big success. We'll keep spreading the word back home and go right out there and do your best.
I'll have to come back with insane stories. And we'll share them with everybody.
Sure, there'll be many. What should we play here to?
Well, I've got my friend Shannon sitting next to me, right, keeping me company here, and she sang on For God's Sake, Irene, which is number 7. And so let's throw that one out there.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks for being here, Matt.
Thanks, Jeff, for
Always
having me.
A pleasure.
For God's sake, the children are sleeping, Irene. For God's sake, the children are sleeping, but where you been again? Creeping around with the wrong crowd, no doubt. For God's sake, your husband is home, Irene. For God's sake, your husband is home. He hasn't seen you since you left him alone. For God's sake, Irene, you gotta go back home. Friends are no good, Irene. For God's sake, your friends are no good. What a good woman wouldn't do. You know your friends, they would. For God's sake, Irene, you gotta go back home. For God's sake, Irene. Children too. John Lennon shirt, son. Pack your bags and don't look back. Hit the road, don't forget your black coat. I don't wanna see you around here no more. You ought to be in New York. Boy, you ought to be in New York. Well, the suits they send you, they say they played their flutes, but you didn't dance. You had your chance, son, you stayed true. Now you go and you make them dance for you. Make them dance until they see who they're dancing for. They're out of being New York. John Lennon shirt, son. Pack your bags and don't you look back. Hit the road, don't forget your black coat. I don't wanna see you around here no more.
That boy ought to be in New York, but first he's going to be at the West End Cultural Center next Sunday. The West End Cultural Center. Adrian Sala, Carly Dow, and Matt and his great band releasing this new record, Love in Such Strong Words, and it's a fine one. So head yourself on down there next Sunday and check it out. And I'm sure you'll want to buy yourself a copy, maybe two. It's just that good. We heard that one is Boy Ought to Be in New York from You'll Find Me Alone, Matt's first record from last year. And then just before that, we heard For God's Sake, Irene from the brand new one. Speaking of brand new, this is brand new, and boy, oh boy, is it exciting. We have the brand new Blackie and the Radio Kings. It's called Let's Frolic. Let's hear the opening track, Silver Dreams, Tell the Band to Go Home.
Sky to bring some lights. light. It's been a bum night, and you're the only star that would put a light on me. Silver on the edges of my dream, silver dreams don't roll down my street like the cars turning silver with rain. Heaven's call.
Ferry all the time. I do not believe her, but still I can't help but deceive her and say today's the day. Looked for years and never seen one. When I was made aware, I took her down to the aquarium, but it only made her angry and sad. She wrote an editorial in the local independent paper.
While angels, heroes, leaves are falling, I'll be following you down through island chains and water strains. Dark,
It's got to be wild, or we're not at all. Now it's midnight in the theme park. She knows how to break in. Wrecked on Red Bull and gin. Beating up the Flintstones.
While angels, heroes, leaves are falling, I'll be following you down. Through island chains and water strange and dark. It's got to be wild, or not at all.
Another quiet sea before us. The conversation bogs. Faked out by bobbing logs. Thinking maybe I am the one. Some kind of bad luck charm that drives the whales under every time. She really needs to see some.
While angels, heroes, thieves are falling, I'll be following you down. Through island chains and water strange and dark. It's got to be wild or not at all. It's got to be wild or not at all. It's got to be wild.
That is brand new from our good friend Chris Demeanor from his upcoming album, Go Away With Me. That one's called It's Gotta Be Wild or Not At All, and it features Carolyn Mark. It's a fine record, and you know, I love Chris Demeanor. He's been one of the best live performers in this country. Up till now, his records, I haven't loved them. Don't tell him I said that, because he's a good guy and a good friend, but... I didn't love his previous studio records, but this one is a fine one, very, very enjoyable. Features not only Carolyn Mark there, but our friend Carrie from Nathan is also on here. Veda Hilly's on here. Kim Barlow's on here. All kinds of folks. So keep watching for this record. ChrisDemeanor.com is his website. We heard something brand new from Blackie and the Rodeo Kings. The album is Let's Frolic. I believe it comes out on September the 12th, but... that could be the codeine talking. Silver Dreams was the name of the track there. Fine track and very exciting new record. And don't forget to go see Matt Epp on next Sunday, September the 3rd. I'm gonna leave. I'm going to go take some codeine and lie down or something. But I have this, but I'm not. But don't go away, because I have this. This is going to be very cool, I think. I think you're really going to enjoy this. I'm going to wish that I was sitting here listening to it, but I'll listen to it later. It's a one-hour special about the making of one of the best records of this year by far. Expected to see it on my top 10. Love this record. We Shall Overcome, Bruce Springsteen and the Seeger Sessions, and we have a one-hour radio special that talks about the making of that record, talks to Bruce and some of the folks involved. It includes a bunch of songs from the record, but also, most excitingly perhaps, a couple of tracks that aren't on the record, but Bruce has been doing on in concert, and apparently they've been highlights of the show. You got Pete's Anti-War Anthem, Bring 'Em Home, and Blind Alfred Reed's How Can a Poor Man Stand Such Times and Live? And Springsteen added his own verses to those songs and stuff, and so that's very cool. So we're going to play that coming up right after 3 o'clock, and then I'll be back on Thursday, Steel Belted for Your Injury Radio with Christy and Terry, and then next Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m., Tell the Band to Go Home. Check out the website, tellthebandtogohome.com, for all the podcasts and information, including our podcast from last week. If you missed it, you're silly. you missed Bob Schneider live in the studio. That was very, very, very cool. So check that out on the website right now. Anyways, yeah, so stay tuned for the Springsteen special, and thanks for bearing with me this week.